We're up to Perek Aleph, Siman Gimel. O Tzorosh Yeda, Shahamotzi Hazei Yisbarach Shemo, Hinei Mitziuso Mitzius Mukhruch. The Rabbana Shel Olam exists not conditional, not dependent on any other thing, but he exists intrinsically on his own. She'ef Shel Hedor B'Klal. And it's impossible that the Rabbana Shel Olam shouldn't exist, because if he doesn't exist, nothing can exist. Old Dalit, Old Sarashi Yeda, Shemitziuso Yisborach Eino Tali Bezulaso Klal. Also, the Rabbana Shel Olam's existence doesn't depend on anything else. Elami Atzma Hu Mukhrach HaMetzius. Because if it would depend on something else, then it wouldn't be intrinsic, it would depend on something. And also, there would be something else besides the Rabbana Shel Olam, which is the next thing. And we'll do hey, and then we'll go back and see some things here. That which the Rabbana Shel Olam exists is pashut, means not complex, but totally
straightforward.
Okay, I guess
uniform.
It was what?
Uniform?
No, not uniform. It's straightforward, but straightforward doesn't really simple existence. Li harkova ribui klal, without any complexities. Meaning, there's two kinds of things that are connected one to the other. One is called harkova shchenis. We have a bunch of things like a watch. You have a bunch of parts that are connected separately and dependent one on the other. And then there's what's called harkova mizgis, where like a compound, where you have sodium and chloride that mix together and make salt. They're not separately connected. They form a compound. By the Rabbana Shel Olam, there's no harkova. There is no parts to him that are connected to make the whole. And there is no there's nothing about him that is many different things creating his existence. His existence is simple. Everything that the Rabbana Shel Olam is perfect is in a simple fashion, not complex, not many things making up that perfection. Perush, now he tries to explain a little bit better. Ki hinei b'nefesh, by a human being, yimtzu kochos rabim, sholim shekol echad mehem gidol v'tmiasmo. By a human being, there are different parts of a person's nefesh that are completely separate one from the other. Derech Moshe, as the Koron Kolech Echad, this pastoral person has a memory. It's part of his nefesh. V'harotzam Kolech Achir, and his desire, his will, is a separate Kolech. They can exist separately. They're not dependent one on the other. A person can have Alzheimer's and forget completely his Koron, but he still has a will to do things. Or you can have a will, or what's it called? You can have a zikaron and no will, right? Whatever. Right? Each one exists separately and is not dependent on the other. The hadimyon kol acher, a person has imagination. It's a separate thing. You can have an imagination, have no memory. The ein echad me'elon nichnas begeder chaveru klal. They are all separate. Tchumim, separate what?
Categories.
Kinei gather hazikaron, gather echad, gather arotzim, gather achim. Vein arotzim nichnas together hazikaron, velo hazikaron, but together arotzim. They're two separate, completely separate categories, and therefore, what's it called? They don't encroach one on the other. The chen kulam, and so too with all the other aspects of a person's personality. The Rabbana Shel doesn't have different aspects of his being. He incorporates everything that we have plus more, but by us they're separate tchumim, and by him they're not separate at all. He hari hu rotsa v'hu chacham v'hu yachal v'hu shalim v'chol ha-shlemus. Right, on the mamisus mitziusa hu inin echad shekol ba misasa v'gidra. but they're all a function of that one simple existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. They are not separate entities, because if they would be, then the Ribbono Shel Olam would have this as one part of him and this is one part, and that is, then it wouldn't be what's it called, something that is all encompassing. Pirush Amisa Sinyano Ki Ein Shaya Gether Bo Yisporach El Al Tzad Hefer Aloshim. We can only speak of the Ribbono Shel Olam having different qualities that are separate, because we can't refer to it any other way. We have to speak about it as we can relate to it. Kol Mashehu Shleimus, whatever is perfection exists by the Ribbono Shel Olam, except it exists by every other creation as separate entities. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's one simple existence. The Nimsa Sheyesh Bo Kol HaShleimios Lo Kedover Nosif Mahusav. It's not something, an addition to his existence. A human being exists. In addition to his existence, he has other kochos. He has a memory, he has a will. It could be that a person will lose his memory, lose his will, but still exist. His heart will be beating, right? He'll still be alive, he'll be existing, but he'll lose those characteristics. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no characteristics, and existence is all one thing. Sheyesh bo kol hashleimius lo kedover nosof al mahuso v'amisa sinyono ela misar amisa sinyono bi'atzma shekoleles v'amita kol hashleimius shei efshel inyan ahu mibilti kol hashleimius misar atzma. The Ribbono Shel Olam's existence is that perfection. It's not that it contains different kinds of things that make up perfection. We can say it, but it's very difficult to really comprehend. We can't imagine it. There's almost no way in our terminology of describing how it is really by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Like we explained last week or 2 weeks ago, our ability to grasp anything is only from our own point of reference within creation, physical things. Shezeh mashechusheinu margishim, that's what we can experience. Umedim tziura asecha, and what we experience we can imagine. What we can't experience we can't imagine. Ubibruim hineho inyonim rabim nifonim. And by all creations, all of their qualities are separate individual things, and they're not part of their existence, they're in addition to their existence. Ulam kvar hikdamnu sha'amisas mitzius o yisborach eina musegas. The essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence we can't fathom. Ve'ein lahakesh v'mashiroim b'brim al habor yisborach. We can't extrapolate from what we see by creations that applies to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have the same rules applied to him as applies to the creations he created. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence and the existence of every other thing are not comparative at all, and therefore you can't learn from one to the other. So how do we know that? That the Ribbono Shel Olam is one simple existence that has to exist, and all of his qualities are part of his existence. We know that from Kabbalah. That was given down by Torah Shebal Peh. It's part of the mitzvah of Emunah. U'kemoshe kasavnu u'mumosim b'chakira p'yateva atzma b'chukosov mishpotav. And you can understand a certain amount of this through investigation and through a person's seichel. It's impossible that there shouldn't be some existence that is not part of nature itself, that does not have any imperfection, that is not made up of many parts, because then every part is limited. Mikol yachas ve'erech, no, something, some existence that is beyond our comprehension, whom we call Mikri Abruim, that isn't affected by all the things that affect the creations, because if there wouldn't be such an existence, how did everything else come to existence? There has to be something beyond creation that created it. Because if there's nothing beyond creation, then where did it come from? And to say that it's eternal, we know that things aren't eternal. Things come from other things. So everything must have come from something that is beyond the limitations of nature. Because without that, the existence of anything would be impossible. It had to come in existence through something that brought it to existence, and that which brought it into existence must be beyond it, not part of it. Okay. Just a few points here. This idea that on the one hand we can try to understand the Ribono Shel Olam from our existence, Mibsori Echeze, we can extrapolate from us and understand the Ribono Shel Olam, even though we know it's not what really is absolutely. It's just a relative understanding, but that brings us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. And he says, the Or HaDerech, that is a function of Avas Hashem. Ava means a connection. Ava in Gematria is Echad. Ava means to be connected to something. So if you want to connect yourself to the Ribono Shel Olam, attach yourself to the Ribono Shel Olam, have Dveikus Hashem, so then you have to be able to try to understand him as much as you can. The only way we can understand him as much as we can is by looking into the Bria and speaking in our terminology and applying it to Hashem, knowing that it doesn't really apply the way that we understand it, but it's true in a different, on a different plane. That's Avas Hashem. At the same time, to know at the same time that I can't really fathom the Ribono Shel Olam, and everything I'm speaking is only relative to my understanding, but not really how it is by the Ribono Shel Olam, that's a function of Yira. Yira is a distance. Yira means covered. Covered means you respect somebody, you stand from a distance and look up to them or whatever, right? You don't feel that closeness, you feel a certain amount of distance. So both of these things are true. On the one hand, we want to try to understand the Ribono Shel Olam in our terms as much as possible, and with that we get a closer connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, which is part of Avas Hashem. At the same time, we have to understand that whatever we understand is really not absolute what the Ribono Shel Olam is. It's beyond our comprehension, beyond anything that we have a connection to, and beyond our frame of reference. And that way, we put the Ribono Shel Olam at a distance, and that is a function of Yiras Hashem. That's what he says. If what's it called, the Derech Lechaim says, if Hashem would be dependent on some other existence to exist, then he wouldn't be an existence that has to exist, because it would be dependent on something else. Right? If that thing exists, then fine. If not, not. So then the Ribono Shel Olam would not be a simple existence that can't not exist, because if he doesn't exist, nothing exists. Okay, by a human being, the qualities that a person has and his essence of existence are not the same thing. Like I said, you can lose your memory, lose basically every quality you have, and still be alive, right? Be in a coma, on a heart-lung machine, or whatever. So your existence and your qualities are not dependent one on the other. But by the Ribono Shel Olam, his qualities are his existence. In fact, on the bottom here, he brings down, not him, but I think you're a Friedlander, that is what answers the question of Yediyah and Bechira. That the Ribono Shel Olam knows everything that's going to be, and yet we have free choice. I think we spoke about this last week, but I'm just going to mention it very quickly. He says exactly what I said. Baruch Hashem, he was mechaven to me. And that is that we speak about God's knowledge as if it was the knowledge that we're familiar with. So our knowledge is knowing something as an observer from the outside. We have knowledge, and we know it within time. We know it now. We know what was and what will be. So then, if we would know what is going to be, right, either it has to be, or we didn't know it. One of the two. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know things because he is here and his knowledge is something else. He and his knowledge are one. What that means, there's no way of understanding. But it means that it's not our kind of knowledge. And the Rabban Shlom is not limited by time. That doesn't mean that he can see into the future. It means there is no future by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is no past, and there is no present. Right? Time doesn't exist, which is something else that is no way for us to understand. You can't understand time not existing. Right? The only way we could have a hasaga, maybe, of what it means that time doesn't exist in the middle of a drasha, when you think it's never going to end, and you think it's beyond time, or whatever. Or that is a little bit of hasaga of what nitzchius is, what eternity is. But in any case, beyond that,
the Rebbe experienced that.
What?
The Rebbe experienced that.
Yeah, from the other side, not from the pulpit. Very much so. If I have to sit on the other side, I experience it tremendously. Especially when people are supposed to speak like for 5 minutes just to give a little divrei bracha, and they keep going on and on and on, right? Then you think that maybe there is no end in time and there is no past, present, or future. I was at a Chumash party recently somewhere, and they had about an infinite amount of speakers who spoke an eternal amount of time. And these poor little kids, right, every once in a while were being dragged to the bathroom because they couldn't sit there, and they were giving them treats to keep them quiet because they were getting really, and that was the kids. The audience was even worse. You would think that people have some seichel, right, to know when it's proper to speak long and when not proper to speak long, or when it's not proper to speak at all. I remember my Rosh Yeshiva, he was a guest speaker somewhere, and they had like 10 people speaking before him, and each one had no idea that they weren't a guest speaker. So by the time he got up to speak, it was late, there was no air conditioning, it was hot. He got up and he said, "It's late and it's hot, good night." And that was the end of the speech. Sometimes you have to know when to what.
Best speech of the
night. Right, right.
It's the only one that anybody listens to.
Right. Okay, in any case, so we use words and apply them to Hashem when they really, the application doesn't apply. So we have a question. If God knows, then how could we have free choice? But yes, God knows. He doesn't know the way we know. So on his level of knowing, there could be no contradiction, but there's no way for us to understand that. Because we can only approach it from our understanding, and in our understanding, there's a tremendous contradiction. Okay, and we always do that. We always use words, physical words, to describe spiritual things, because we have no point of reference to spiritual things directly that are mufshat, that are totally out of the physical realm. Anything that we experience spiritually is through our physical senses, and therefore we call an Adam Gadol, right? That doesn't mean that he's big and fat. It means that he is a big person spiritually, but we have no words to describe it except in physical terms. So we understand that we're not referring to the physical body of the person, that he's an Adam Gadol, right? I remember that my first experience or encounter with a Gadol was when I went to Tells. Usually the Gadolim, sometimes they came to Miami, so we met them, but it was a fleeting kind of thing. So when I went to Tells, the first Ben Azmanim I spent in New York. So I said, I want to go see Rav Moshe Feinstein. I want to see what, you know, when the Gedolei Israel are. So I took a few of my friends, took me to the East Lower East Side. And we're getting close to Tveris Yerushalayim, Rav Moshe's Yeshiva. And from 2-3 blocks away, they say to me, "See that guy, what's it called, walking guy, hey, man. See that man walking in the, that's a famous, what's it called, a popular expression by seminary girls and yeshiva guys today. Hi, you guys are okay? What's it called? That it rubs me, it makes my wife even worse. Right? I'm not a guy, right? And I'm surely not your friend that you can call me you guys. But in any case, I saw this person in the distance, and they point to me and they say, that is Rabbi Feinstein. So I remember thinking to myself, Rabbi Moshe maybe came up to my shoulders. Maybe. It's a little guy. I said to myself, my God, if this is the Gedolim, what are the Ketanim like? Right? But he was a gadol. He wasn't necessarily tall and fat. But we use physical terms to describe spiritual things. Another thing, we call eternity. Eternity means something that lasts a long time, but that's not eternity. Netzach means there is no time. But we can't refer to it like that, so we refer to it in terms that we can use. And that's also, as we already mentioned, the Eish Lasso says, the Rabbanu Shalom is not made up of many parts, not Harkova Shenish, not like things that are put together and that work together from the outside, and not like a compound that is a mixture that comes together in the inside. A mixture is a Harkova Shenish. It's a lot of things. You have sugar in tea, right? They don't become one. The sugar is still there and the tea is still there. Give enough time, the sugar will come to the bottom or whatever, or the tea will evaporate. They don't become one. That's called a mixture. And then you have a compound where the things become one new thing, where they totally integrate one with the other. The Rabbanu Shalom has no parts either way. It's one simple existence. Again, you can say it. I have no idea what that means. Okay, that is here. The next thing, the next two, basically, are Yichud Hashem, which is in itself, the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom is one, what that means, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, God is one. What does that oneness mean? That's the next thing he discusses in one small paragraph, and then he sums up everything in the last paragraph, and we next week we'll have finished Emir Hashem, the first paragraph. Yeah.
How the Rav explained the idea of your side, Shemayim, and then on the yard side of 12 months on the hand of Bereshayim?
Because Nishamos are not God.
No, but
and Olam HaEmes, it could be there is time. That's just the time is the
no?
Time. What?
We're saying Netzach.
Yeah, but it's not the same kind of Netzach that applies to the Rabbanu Shalom. There could be there is time in the next world. Doesn't say there is no time. Right, except time doesn't pass as it does here, but it corresponds to here. In other words, the time over there may not be measured in seconds or minutes or whatever. Right? There's a passage of time. There's a past. There's a present. There's a future. Okay, that's not God. Right? Not everybody becomes God when he leaves this world. Right? His neshama is not the Rabbanu Shalom. Okay. His neshama has limitations.
Right? Man was created with this world.
Yeah, but part of this world was the next world too.
But could it be
when the Rabbanu Shalom created this world, he created Olam Haba too. Olam Haba is also creation.
There were Malachim before the physical world.
Huh?
There were Malachim. There was
No, Malachim were created on the second day or the first day. It's Machlokas. Malachim are creations. They didn't exist before this world. And Olam Haba was created with this world. The Yitzra Hashem Elokim, right? The Nishamas were created. Like nothing existed before, not Olam Haba, not the Rabbanu Shalom existed. When the Rabbanu Shalom created worlds, he created two worlds. Each world is limited. Olam Haba also has limitations. Yeah?
Could it be that because the Yartzeit impacts people on this world, so the way it impacts us, Hashem has, like, we see the time. Shemayim could be different.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. The idea being the following, that it's all relative. In other words, the time, there is time in Shammai, but it may not be the same time as we know it, right? But there is past, present, and future there. It's not, again, not everybody becomes God when they leave this world, and the world is not God. It's a world. It has limitations to it. And therefore, and the neshama can get more and more perfection. It's not perfect. So it gets perfection there. It's not, the person leaves this world, becomes perfect. Right, he So the idea being that there is a matter of time there which has a relation to here. So in our terms, the neshama that goes through various phases, let's say they're not time of seconds, minutes, or whatever, but phases correspond in this world to time. The Shure Das, the Shure Das says that everything that exists, there are a succession of worlds, from the most physical, which we're in, and everything above that is a similar world with similar things, but on a different plane. For instance, it says that a frog in this world has a counterpart frog in a higher world, where there aren't physical frogs, but there are spiritual frogs. And it's a spiritual power with a malach or whatever opposite it that impacts on the frogs in this world. So what a physical frog does, really in the other world, is takes on a different form. I always like to compare it. If you have a tape, okay, this is an anachronism, right? A magnetic tape. When they used to have reel-to-reel tapes or cassettes or whatever, you know, that thing that, whatever. So it had on it magnetic impulses that if you put it through a player, so those magnetic impulses were translated into sound and into light on a screen, and you could see it. What you see on the screen is exactly those magnetic impulses on the tape, except it's in one mode over here, and it changes its mode when it goes through that player. Same thing. You have a spiritual power in a certain spiritual world. Okay, in that world, it's in the shape of a malach, which is not a guy with wings, you know, that flits around. It's a spiritual power. When that power filters into our world, it takes on a physical form, right? That she explains, says that the Rav Chaim Mendoza was poor, and his wife said, you know, do something. So he went out and he died, and they gave him a golden chair leg. And then his wife saw in a dream that their table in Olam Haba was missing a leg. She said, what do you mean? With Olam Haba is a physical place with the tables, and that's Olam Haba. It's a spiritual world. But when there are tables in Olam Haba that are spiritual ideas, and when they filter into this world, they take on a physical form of being a table leg. It is the same thing, except in that world it has one form, in this world it has a different form. It fits the world that it's in. In one mode it's electromagnetic impulses, in a different mode it's light and sound. It's the same thing though, it's not a different thing. So Mimela, there may be a concept of time in the next world that's different than what we have, but when it filters into this world, it takes on hours, minutes, and seconds. And therefore a yahrzeit in the next world may be a year in their terms, but when it filters into this world, it's 12 months that pass by. So there is a connection, but it's not that in the next world there is no time and there is no space and there is limitations, except it's on that level, not on the physical level. So the only thing is, Hashem doesn't have any limitations and no time, or there's only the revulsion. It's not just because a person goes to the next world that he's beyond time, beyond place, or whatever. It's not God.
Well, the limitations of the next world have to be time, space, and whatever.
Right, but they're not. But they are limitations.
Yeah.
There is something, some way of passage of past, present, future, right? And in our terms, it's called time. Yeah.
Yeah. Kiva Tass talks about. He says everything. Think that's like what Rob was saying. Everything that filters down from the other world to this world is in order for us to, like Hashem gives us, let's say, parents, so we can learn about Hashem. In other words, they say everything that filters down is so that we can learn about.
Right. Okay. In other words, we have a connection to those spiritual things because they have a manifestation of physical way in this world.
And that's why they were given.
Yeah. Okay. That's a separate idea, though. That's a okay. Any questions on this? Beyond that? Okay. Next week we will try to finish the first parrot. And as we finish this, we'll get more and more down to earth. Literally. Okay.